Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Pain Train Pipeline Productions. I am the Bear of Texas. Let's welcome back the founder and president of Pipe Bomb Radio NYC, Ricky Litwinkowicz. What's up, Ricky?
What is going on, everybody?
Well, it's good to have you on the show, and I think you know what we're going to talk about today, don't we? Because we've been waiting for this.
The return of Kenny Omega.
It's been confirmed. His in-ring return will take place at the New Japan Pro Wrestling x AEW Wrestle Dynasty, which takes place in Tokyo, Japan on the 5th of January.
And yours truly will probably be trying to watch it online somewhere. Let me tell you that a lot of people really don't get to experience New Japan.
It's a shame, too, especially this show, because Wrestle Dynasty involves New Japan, All Elite Wrestling, Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre, Ring of Honor, and World Wonder Ring Stardom. Five promotions, one show. Now, that's exciting.
Well, actually, the New Japan event is actually a two-day event.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
They are doing the one setup
Wrestle Kingdom. Day
one Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And they did, I believe the day after is another name for for day two.
Yes, this actually takes place the night after Wrestle Kingdom 19.
Yes. So there's a little bit of a backstory to the whole Kenny Omega's in-ring return being in New Japan.
Mm-hmm.
He has put out on social media the reason why this is happening, and it's more for the fact being that he does not want to take away from the talent in AEW. Now, a little bit of backstory on Gabe Kidd. He was wrestling in a lot of the British promotions before he got to New Japan. So it's not like he's not an established guy. Mm-hmm. On New Japan's roster, he is an established guy. He is part of the Bullet Club in New Japan, even though it is not the regular Bullet Club you've seen from like AJ and all of the guys that are there, like the GOD. It's not that level. It's the new level of Bullet Club. Like, there's always a different chapter in Bullet Club when leaders leave and come to the States and go to AEW or they go to WWE. So I believe he's in the War Dogs level of New Japan, which I'm happy about. But WCPW was the promotion that he was in when he was wrestling in the British scene.
In England.
He was a very, very young, raw talent in that company. To see where he's gotten from then to now, obviously, there's been a lot more experience, a lot more training, seasoning. I always talk about the seasoning part. But Gabe Kidd can hold his own.
No, no doubt about it. I think that's one reason why Kenny Omega is willing to work with the guy.
Well, he's always, again, Omega's at that stage right now where, yeah, there are a lot of matches that he can have with higher upper echelon talent. But to now to start to work with the younger guys will not only kind of give them a stamp, hey, like you got my approval from doing a match with you, but you also get to get that litmus test. And I don't think there's anybody better right now that's not been on TV or been on a pay-per-view or a PLE better at this point to come in and work with a Kenny Omega.
Absolutely. It feels like, I mean, it has been forever since we've seen Kenny Omega work a match, it's been well over a year. I don't know the last time exactly he had a match, but I think he's been officially out of action since December of last year. And as we know, he's been sidelined due to diverticulitis,
which is also something that Brock Lesnar went through for a long period of time.
Really?
And it's not exactly something medically you can kind of mess with. I'm not going to lie when I tell you that. That is a very, very big thing where they're taking out parts of your intestines because they're not functioning properly. So the body does take a long period of time to adjust for a medical issue like that. Also, on top of that, he was dealing with other injuries. So it's not like he was just dealing just with the I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry. I'm not even attempting it.
Diverticulitis.
Yes, you could say it for me, all right? But there were other injuries. Like, he had back injuries. There were leg injuries, neck injuries. Kenny Omega is not one that kind of rides the gas pedal. Like, his foot is to the floor.
Right.
In every match possible. So, being the fact, you know what, that he's had all of these things, there's been talk of changing his moveset, kind of eliminating moves that probably, like, normally we would love to see him do, but he might not be physically capable to do. And I think him being back with New Japan and having a guy like Gabe Kidd, a young, raw talent still, in my books, probably, might be the best bet for Omega to come back.
Absolutely. And when we take a look at this particular card for Wrestle Dynasty, the Young Bucks are actually going to be working a match. Zack Sabre Jr. takes on Ricochet, and Jack Perry also work. And of course, this is actually really has me really excited. A four-way match for the International Women's Cup. And it's actually going to have a female wrestler, four of them representing each of the promotion. One, AEW, the other CMLL, the other Ring of Honor, and the other Stardom. And that's really exciting to me personally.
Well, again, like a lot of the promotions that are being involved, obviously some of them are from Mexico, some will be here from the States, some will be from Japan. And again, like I've said it in the past that companies like Stardom only get mentioned in certain areas. Like, obviously, NXT now has members on their roster from Stardom. Stardom gets mentioned in AEW, obviously, with Forbidden Door. You get to see talents coming from Stardom. Mina Shirakawa is part of Stardom.
AZM.
AZM. Melinda May, I believe, also was from Stardom at one point. So you get to see some of these talents that you hear the name, but if you don't have the access to see them, it does sprinkle in a lot more different styles and movesets. Like, moves we would imagine in our brain, they are the ones that are doing them. And that's when you get to see stuff like New Japan, which tries to blend a lot of styles from around the world. I think that's the more important part. It's not looking through that frosted glass. The only thing that exists is AEW, or the only thing that exists is TNA, or the only thing that exists is WWE. Like, as much as we, as wrestling fans, like, we tend to stick to something, you have to get out of your comfort zone every once in a while and give another brand a chance. Like ICW, for example. Perfect fucking example. You had guys like Drew McIntyre over there that legit started their career before they got to WWF, WWE. He left, went back to find himself again, went back to ICW, reignited the flame, so to speak. Now, again, ICW is just not prototypical wrestling. It's a mix of, I could probably say, like TNA and ECW put together. Because there are wrestling moves, but you're going to have a little bit of that hardcore punch to it.
Right.
And if you don't recognize companies like ICW or GCW, then you're not really catching the full brand of what professional wrestling can be.
Well said. Again, the whole concept, again, you know, seeing all these promotions work together. I mean, that's what I, you know, I've said many times, that's what I want pro wrestling to be. The promotions working together.
And you know what? Like, it's been, maybe I could say AEW kind of broke the lock on Forbidden Door. I'm not going to say that it really wasn't, that they were the ones that were the innovators of doing that. Because if you go back to the old school Ring of Honor stuff, they did import guys from Mexico. And they did have a relationship with them to say, hey, like, we're bringing in talents. MLW has been doing that for quite a few years now. A company based in the U.S., and they bring in guys from CMLL or AAA promotions down there, which I think are still being run by like Conan, old school guys from WCW.
By the way, it's in our prayers. Conan, as you know, dealing with a serious health issue.
And then WCPW was bringing in talent, guys like Kurt Angle, Drew McIntyre, Alberto Del Rio, just to name a few, like guys that would, you know, if you're bringing in a card, you got to make sure that you have something for that main event or something for a storyline where you could have them for like 2 weeks, record 5 episodes worth, and kind of like integrate other stuff going in. Like, I think the AEW wasn't the one that did that, but New Japan has always been the one, even before then, to bring in, I would say, international talent. You know, there, a lot of the, like, for example, AJ Styles was called an outsider for a while. Gallows and Anderson, outsiders. Jay White, who's from Australia, an outsider. Like, you integrate all of these guys in, and it's going to make your product better. This is why when they do things like Wrestle Kingdom, and they bring in 4 different promotions, it's a watch. It is an absolute watch. And we're watching it like 4 or 5 o'clock a.m. here while they're doing their card at like 7, 8 o'clock over there. So I'm not saying that it's easy to watch in the United States. But again, like, if you're a huge fan of it, you will take advantage of it.
I mean, it's the excitement that Ricky is talking about. I mean, we also mentioned Pro Wrestling Noah as well.
I do also like the fact, though, that unlike in AEW, and this is it fails in comparison, okay? AEW puts a lot of matches, they sandwich all these matches into one card. But they also fill it with promos, they fill it with vignettes, and everything else like that. Like, I like a preview, but if you're going to give me the Zero Arrow preview, like the day before the event, then I'm just watching that on YouTube and not giving a crap about it during a show. WWE is another one that does the whole vignette thing. Oh, what led up to this match? We already knew what led up to this match.
Right.
Let us just have the enjoyment.
Just give us the freaking match. We know what happened. We know the buildup. We know everything. Even if we don't, there's the internet. We don't need to see it during the show.
But New Japan is, okay, we have a match. You've got 2 minutes. And here comes another match. It is legit entertainment, one after another, after another, after another. Unless you have some type of face or heel turn, or you have a little bit of a dramatic moment. For example, Bullet Club members turning on Bullet Club members a few years ago.
The Civil War.
That's all you're really going to see with New Japan. Like, I don't have to worry about some 7-minute vignette about a feud that started 3 months prior and they're finally having a match. Or what led up to a fatal 4-way in a women's tag team division match. I don't need to see that shit.
We don't know.
That's why I'm glad I watch it on freaking the $7 version of Peacock. Because I'd rather see a commercial than the fucking preview of the match. But NJPW is not like that. And I'm kind of glad that they don't do that. Absolutely. I think that's why it's more of a draw. And they always have a full packed house. I've never seen one empty house at a New Japan show. Never.
That's why I've said, if I ever get a chance to go to Tokyo, I want to go to a New Japan Pro Wrestling event. if I get a chance to go to World Wonder Ring Stardom, I would love to go to the same. All Japan, same thing. Pro Wrestling Noah. I want to experience pro wrestling in Japan with more than one company. Some would say they're the same. Okay, there's similarities, but no, there are differences too. All Japan, New Japan, major, Pro Wrestling Noah.
The major thing is, and I again, like I punched this ticket on because I've seen Stardom, I've seen New Japan, I've seen Noah. The move sets are all different.
Mm-hmm.
When they talk about hard style,
or the strong style,
you can tell when guys are sitting there and they're getting lit up and firing back.
Oh, big time.
And I'm not talking like, oh, like these little like taps. I'm talking about blood vessels breaking on first shots. Like this is how hard these guys hit. And it's an actually enjoyable thing that these guys were trained to do these things. We're training in there where they're talking about being a young boy and being trained in a dojo. Like, that's no joke.
No joke.
And you can see guys like Shinsuke Nakamura, that even now, like, he's still kind of later on trying to figure out, I know I can hit, but how hard am I going to hit? You know, like, there's still, like, he still has that strong style in him from being in New Japan. That's why they had to tame him a little bit. But again, when you come from a company that trained you, I would call extreme hardcore instead of regular hardcore, then you got to go with it.
Absolutely. And you know, we mentioned World Wonder Ring Stardom. I mean, Julia, extensive career there. Stephanie Vaquer also spent time there, although Vaquer spent a majority so far at Consejo Mundial de Lucha Libre. But there's a history with those two. But still, you know, World Wonder Ring Stardom. I mean, Riho, Jamie Hayter, I think also Mariah May. You see, the one thing out of World Wonder Ring Stardom that really gets me, because everybody knows I'm a devoted fan and supporter of women's professional wrestling. I've stood up for women's professional wrestling. So World Wonder Ring Stardom is a promotion that obviously has my attention. You see the characters. You see the style. You see everything. And you mentioned, see, Japanese strong style is a style of wrestling. It's a genre. But you know how a genre has subgenres, and the Japanese strong style has that. There are different styles of the Japanese strong style, which is another many reasons why the style in Japan is so profoundly unique.
You can't say it any better than that.
I mean, same thing in Mexico. Really. Yet the Lucha Libre style is a genre, and there are subgenres of that. Lucha Libre and Japanese strong style are profoundly unique.
I will say, I don't think there's enough verbiage for vocabulary of all of the different styles that are out there. And again, you're going to find the more unique ones for the ones that, like, you could say WWF has been around since the 60s, I believe.
Since probably even before that.
Maybe, you know what? I don't know how many generations of McMahons have done WWF, WWE, okay? But brands like New Japan that have been around since 1972, I'm pretty sure wrestling in Mexico has been around probably even before that.
I would say since the ancient times.
Why could you say anything different that there's, you know, these styles that have been lingering for a really, really long time?
I mean, I'm often asked, could I name a wrestler that was trained in the U.S. and in Japan? There's actually one that I actually can easily name. Can you guess who it is?
Who's that?
Eric Rowan. Trained by Eddie Sharkey and the Pro Wrestling Noah Dojo. And Eddie Sharkey, that's the same guy that trained Jesse the Body Ventura, amongst many other names. I mean, also trained the Road Warriors, Bob Backlund, Paul Ellering, ODB.
That's a pretty big list.
Wow. Rick Rude as well. Oh my God. Rick Steiner too. Sean Waldman, the Warlord. Medusa. Wow. Even Barry Darso. But Rowan, one of a kind, trained by Eddie Sharkey, but also in the Pro Wrestling Noah Dojo. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of other wrestlers that have had training in both ends, but the one, because I've said many times, Rowan and the late Brody Lee were such an underrated tag team in WWE. Super underrated. Their feud with the Usos in 2014, the two matches that they had in that run, amazing matches. The 2 out of 3 falls match and the regular tag team match. Those two teams had great chemistry.
And you get I know we're supposed to be focusing on Omega and Gabe Kidd. But if you really kind of think about it, a lot of the imported talent that goes to New Japan, small list, by the way, a small list. You got tag teams that came out of Ring of Honor, like Red Dragon, which was Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly. The Dudley Boys went over to New Japan for a really, really long time. Steiner Brothers were over there. The Briscoe Brothers were over there. The Kingdom was over there.
The Young Bucks.
The Motor City Machine Guns went over there. There is a long lineage of teams that have come from here that have completely survived New Japan. And bringing it back to the Kenny Omega thing, obviously, Kenny Omega from Canada wrestled a lot of promotions. Had a really, really good damn-ass run in fucking New Japan.
Well, there's an understatement right there. As a matter of fact, there's a major understatement right there. I mean, that promo, what he said, I must bid you adieu. That one's emotional a little bit, especially for me.
And I've used it once or twice myself. I'm not going to say that I'm not a Kenny Omega mark.
Sometimes life hits a roadblock. Things happen.
But Kenny Omega has a legitimacy that I think, because he ran the whole Don Callis route for a while, and being under that umbrella, but then again, Don Callis, as much of a douche as he is on TV, that's a learning tree that I definitely, if I were coming up, that I probably would take advantage of. Because he's been there, done that. He's been behind the scenes. He has his hands on the legit button of anything going on in the wrestling world so far. And if he's going to bring up guys like the guys that he's with now, or the guys he's had a hand on for a little while, and I'm not talking about, you know, touchy-feely, hands-on. I'm talking about the whole building of character, movesets, etc. Like, he got Kenny Omega to that really, really new heel level.
Yeah, holding all the
Because he was a heel, but now he became a mega heel.
Yeah.
And he's a good face, too. I'm not going to lie when I tell you that. He handles both sides of the coin really, really well.
A lot of wrestlers can. Some wrestlers can only handle the face side, some only the heel side. Some wrestlers are blessed enough to be able to do both.
But this is a time where Kenny Omega now is face.
Yeah.
And I think with the creativity that he has, is going to make this one of the best matches on the Wrestle Kingdom card.
Absolutely. And you know, a match I see in the future, obviously, because of that story, you know, when he was attacked by the Young Bucks and Okada. Obviously, we're going to see another match between Omega and Okada. I would love to see it. But in that particular case, we're obviously going to see it at AEW. But you know, doing a little bit of research on Gabe Kidd, I mean, he's actually appeared on AEW. He appeared in AEW actually just a couple months ago, and actually teamed up on an episode of Rampage, teamed up with Roderick Strong and defeated the Infantry. And actually, last month in October, appeared on an episode of Ring of Honor Wrestling where he actually defended his Strong Openweight Championship against Anthony Henry. So, yeah, he's currently right now the open weight. I almost forget how to say it, but the Strong open weight champion. I believe he beat Eddie Kingston for it, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Yeah, he beat one of my heroes, Eddie Kingston.
But you know what, though, I think, granted, it's January that we're going to all be sitting there waiting for this event to happen, and I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other great matches that, at some point, are probably going to get added because New Japan is a very progressive company when it comes to setting up their card. And they're not, it's not no frills. Like, I, again, love the action after action after action. Or like Sheamus, banger after banger after banger. Because their talent roster, when they put on pay-per-view, is top-notch. I've not seen one bad match in the entire time that I've been watching New Japan. And they are very, very big on botch-free wrestling. That's how in tune they are. Mm-hmm. So, again, I definitely look forward to the Omega-Gabe Kidd match. I will say, if you can, you try and get the New Japan subscription. It's definitely well worth it. If you're not, you can actually find some of the New Japan stuff on YouTube just to get a taste to see what it is. Because, again, Strong Style is nothing compared to anything you've probably seen.
It's beyond. It's one of a kind. Profoundly one of a kind.
By the way, they are also one of the few companies left that use a corded microphone in the ring.
Absolutely.
That's classic for you.
That's classic for you. I mean, New Japan, boy, oh boy, oh boy, can they produce great professional wrestling. That's why if I specifically went on a trip to Japan specifically just to go to, well, just for mainly to go to these shows, hey, you know what? That would be a unique experience. But I would also devote myself to tourism as well. I mean, I want to get a great experience, you know, visiting Japan.
The must-see, the Tokyo Dome. Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Even if you're not walking in, you got to just enamor the size of that.
I want to go to a New Japan show at the Tokyo Dome. And, of course, I want to visit that video game store that you told me about.
Oh, yes.
All the vintage toy stores they probably got. Man.
Super Potato.
Yeah. So, anyway, well, I think last thing I'm going to say is, obviously, I think Gabe Kidd goes over on Kenny Omega.
I might disagree with that.
Okay, I mean, no problem.
I think Omega's going to pull this out, but I think it's going to be one of those ones where you'd rather go to the dentist and pull all your teeth out. that's how painful it's probably going to be, but I see Omega with a dub. Because they're going to have to build him back up to bring him back to AEW.
Absolutely. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that does it for this episode. I know that we went off topic big time, but you know what? We just had to finally put New Japan over because we've never fully done that before. We have put it over in some, to some extent, but we've never gone the full nine yards. And I'm glad that we finally did it because that's what Ringside Chaos is all about. It's about loving and appreciating professional wrestling in the most knowledgeable and sophisticated way. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, there will be a recap of Full Gear. So if you listen to this episode first, be sure to check that one out as well. We'll actually be doing that since Full Gear is actually, I think on the same day as we record, the episode will be out by Monday. Now, I'm already looking at the card, but let me ask you quickly, Ricky, which match on the Full Gear card are you most looking forward to?
I'm looking the way to see if they're going to bury Orange Cassidy with Moxley.
I'm
actually looking forward to seeing that. It's the in-depth on this is that this is not AEW Creative's storyline. That is the huge part of this whole Death Riders situation. Jon Moxley is running his own storyline in AEW. And to see him pick the list of guys that he wants to work with through this storyline will be completely intriguing. And I'm telling you, anything with Moxley right now is extremely shiny gold.
Which is why I have no doubt that Jon Moxley, being the businessman that he is, he's going to put Orange Cassidy over.
He's going to put him over, but I think, again, you're going to see Mox come out to victor and wait for the next ounce of prey to be coming across his cutting table.
Definitely. So, anyway, so tune in for that, ladies and gentlemen. As always, Ringside Chaos is available wherever you get your podcast, but I do have an announcement to make. Ringside Chaos now has its own YouTube channel. I'm not going to get into the full details as to why, but I will say that this is actually on the advice of Ricky here, because I feel like as part of times, there's times you have to rebrand. Again, I'm not going to get into full details because I'm still teared up about it a little bit. But Ringside Chaos does, in fact, have its own YouTube channel now. Just look up Ringside Chaos. Now, the old content is still on my regular channel. So from now on, all new content goes on the new Ringside Chaos channel. But everywhere else, on Spotify, Apple, everything is still there. You don't have to worry about that. It's just on YouTube. You're going to find a new channel, and that's actually my channel. But only this is actually going to be the first episode that's going to be published on that channel. All old Ringside Chaos episodes is on my regular channel, ladies and gentlemen. And Ricky, thank you so much for that advice. I really appreciate it. I know that when I called you, I might have been crying a little bit, but I was not in a rage like I usually am. But I thank you so much on this advice, and I'm sure the Ringside Chaos followers are deeply grateful as well.
It's always about building and growing, my friend. Mm-hmm. Building and growing.
Sometimes you hit the roadblock. Sometimes you just slip off the mountain. Things happen. There's always a way to do it. So thank you again, Ricky. Thank you all very much, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you enjoy Full Gear. Tune in for the recap, which will be out in a couple of days. Of course, looking forward to Wrestle Kingdom as well as Wrestle Dynasty. If we're lucky, we'll talk about it here on this show as well. Thank you again, Ricky, and everyone. Have a good one. And God bless.
Peace.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.